for today is Daniel and Chelsea. Will you make them welcome again? You're going to come and join us up on the panel. Jaleel, why don't you come and join us as well? Fantastic. And Pastor Matt's going to join us as well. And we're also going to have this mic as a bit of a roving mic for questions as well, which Neil's going to look after. So I'm going to hand over to Pastor Matt. Enjoy.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. So if anyone's still out in the foyer, do you want to come in, grab a seat? So we've got about half an hour for this panel session. And the idea of this is we're just going to talk about witnessing, about sharing your faith, and just get the guys to sort of chip in and answer some questions. And then at the end, if we've got time and you've got a particular question that you want to ask, just... We'll jump into that. And then at the end of that, Ryan's going to come and he's going to give us some instructions about heading out and putting what we're talking about into action. Amen. So, Patrick, do we have a picture up? So, this is the Dreddy Street Team Club, all right? So, Ben, I don't know what happened to you. So, I think Ben had just been to the barbers and missed out.
That's well done, actually. That's very
Yeah, the dreaded army. So it sort of reminds me of that a scripture about, you know, you become like those you hang out with. So, with that in mind, and we can probably pull that down and burn it now.
Send that to me.
So, with that in mind, Chelsea, I want to ask you a question. Because sometimes you hear from people that to reach a certain sort of people, you've got to relate to them and you've got to be like them. And, you know, I suppose extreme cases are... you know, if you're going to go down the pub, then you've got to go down and drink with the boys to be able to reach with them. Or if you're working with tradies, you know, you've got to speak their language and you've got to be like people to be able to reach people. What would you say if people came up with that sort of comment to you?
I would say that we need to look different than the world. That we're not called to, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And so we need to look different than the world, that people can see a difference in us. But the gospel works anywhere. It doesn't matter, you know, where someone's from or what sphere they're from, that the gospel just works. But we're called to be set apart from the world, called to be pure and holy and to look different, consecrated to Jesus. So unless you're greater than the influence you're going into, I mean, I was from the pubs, you know, and I'd be more than strong enough to go in there and, you know, start to reach those people. But sometimes when you get born again, you just need to get insulated with the kingdom of heaven so you're not influenced anymore, but you're the influencer and you're bringing light where there's darkness. So, yeah, we don't need to be, you know, swearing and being like... you know, the world, we need to look different. People need to look at us and see something different that they want. Yeah.
Great. So, Daniel, this one's for you. So, often when you come out of something, you have a better understanding of what people are going through. So, do you feel that you can minister, like sharing to a certain group of people, or is it just the same for everyone?
That's a good question. I think it certainly can help if you have a testimony that relates to the people group that you're ministering to. So, for example, my testimony that I often share is I've come out of the nightclub scene, got messed up on drugs and the nightlife and this, you know, the old cliche, the sex, drugs and rock and roll. And so I do have a heart for people that have been addicted to things, and I do have a compassion for them because I've been through it. But at the same time, I would say to anybody, my answer is this, that I have for them is the same answer that you have as well. And so, for example, Jesus wasn't a drug addict, but he was still able to minister to the drug addicts. Jesus was not a publican, but he was still able to reach the publicans and still able to reach the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but he wasn't one of those. And so I would say your testimony, God will certainly strategically use that, your life experiences. He'll even use your mistakes. He can turn your mess into a message, your test into a testimony, I often say to people. But if you don't have that crazy testimony, I say that's awesome.
Yeah.
And if you've been brought up in church life, I don't feel like you can't reach broken people, because you certainly can.
Yeah.
And it's the same gospel, it's the same light, it's the same salt that we heard about just earlier that you have as well. So the gospel works no matter what your background is. That's what I would say for sure.
Yeah. Great. So Jaleel, do you want to tell us a little bit about your connection with Israel and how, because you spoke about ministry with Messianic Jews, and just give us a little bit of insight into your world and maybe people that you're reaching.
Sure. Gosh, that's a big question. Yeah, so I grew up in a Messianic home. My parents were both hippies during the 70s, and so my father's from Jewish background, my mother's Aussie, and you know, but the Jewish community, if you're aware of it, not everyone, they're all originally from Israel, but a lot of them haven't lived in Israel for thousands of years because they got kicked down in AD 70. The temple was destroyed. Rome came through, completely destroyed Israel and took them all off into captivity, as was prophesied. And so my family came out of Poland, and they were Polish Jews, escaped after the Second World War, escaped into Russia during the Second World War, and escaped all the concentration camps that were in Poland, and then moved to Australia after that. And so I was working with a ministry called Celebrate Messiah for 7 years, wrapped up a year, and it was probably 2 years ago now. I still work with them and with the ministry, support it, but we don't feel specifically called. But we were working in Melbourne at that time, 70,000 Jews in Melbourne, largely unreached. And when you think that the gospel came from the Jewish people, they're the original messengers, the writers of the Old and the New Testament, all Jewish, has gone out to the world, and now most of them have never heard of Jesus, or they've heard of Jesus, but they have no concept that he's the Messiah. And so a lot of what I do is really, you know, if you reach, not currently, I'm not working in any framework with Jewish people. I've been spending the last 3 weeks on the street with kids that have no mum and dad and just gang kids. But if you're reaching, you want to reach out to Jewish people, a lot of what we're doing is scraping the makeup off Jesus's face to reveal his Jewish original identity. And so a bit like Joseph, when he was rejected by his brother, became raised up, was in 3 years in prison, raised up as the savior of the known world. When his brothers finally came to him, the 12, and they kneeled before him, they didn't recognize him. And it's a bit like that. When Jewish people come to Jesus, they have no grief that he was actually a Jewish boy from Galilee, observant. All his followers were observant of the Torah. They spoke his language. He wasn't white, Anglo. You know, he probably had no concept that people would carry crosses around their necks. Like, do you know what I mean? It was he ate kosher foods. He celebrated. He'd never heard of Easter, or he celebrated all the feasts of the Bible. So what we do is, especially reaching Jewish people, is just sort of, you know, it says that when Joseph saw his brothers, finally he couldn't contain himself, and he sent everyone out, and he just wailed over his brothers and said, "Come near me. I'm Joseph," you know. And really, you know, the gospel says that a partial hardening came to Israel for the salvation of the nations, that the gospel would go out to the nations. So God hardened their hearts, just like he hardened the hearts of Joseph's brothers. Because remember when Joseph is sitting there and they say, "Oh, we're so sorry." He's like, "Don't worry, God foreknew. It was in his plan that you would reject me and send me and raise me up to save the nation. That's what's happened right now." So when we reach out to Jewish people, we're just like, "Hey, you know what? this Jesus is actually the Jewish Messiah. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Messiah of Israel and of the whole world. And so what we're doing is really just unpacking that.
Great. Chelsea, this morning you touched on that we're all ministers of reconciliation. So this afternoon, people are going to go out in street teams. So what would you say to people that have a passion for Jesus, want to share their faith, but the thought of going out on the street just freaks them out? What would you say to that?
I would say I struggled really badly with fear, like it was a massive stronghold in my life. I'd have full on anxiety attacks and, you know, but the Word of God says the righteous are as bold as a lion. So we're not trying to be bold. We actually already are. That's our divine nature. We're actually already bold. And one thing that I realized from going out on the streets is fear is a mirage. And on the other side of your fear is someone else's freedom. Someone else's freedom relies on you stepping out. You know, they're tormented. They can look a certain way, but they're tormented on the inside. If they don't have Jesus, there's no hope in the world. And so I would just encourage you, if you've never done that before, you know, even just asking people, can I give you a word of encouragement, take their shopping trolley back, like just... God just wants to flow through you as you would normally talk to someone in your everyday. You know, and I'd encourage you, if you've never been out before, just come out and even just observe. Even just come out and just observe and just watch. Watch how easy it is, because he doesn't want us to be awkward and weird. He just wants us just to flow out of who we are when we're at the shopping centres and we're just talking about, hey, how's your day going? And just start a conversation. And then move the conversation to the king. Yeah. So I'd just say, come out and observe, just because it's already in you. That boldness is already there. It's just, again, exercising the boldness. Yeah.
So Daniel, just adding to that, what would you say when people talk about personalities, you know? Some are extroverts, some are introvert, some, you know... I just want to build a friendship with people. And there's all sorts of ways of relationships and sharing. So what would you say to people when it comes to sharing their faith and personality?
Sure, yeah. I remember one time back where we live, we did an outreach and my sister came out on the streets and she's more of an introverted personality, a bit more of a quieter personality than myself. I'm a little bit more out there when I'm out there. And so I remember we were both out there, other people were out there, you know, trying to be led of the Spirit, talking to people, handing out gospel tracts, praying for the sick. And I think it might have been my sister's first time that she'd actually been out there. Very quiet person. And it was a real step of faith, and it was boldness for her to even just go out and be a part of that that team for the first time. And so I remember there was this lady that started to walk towards me, and I boldly went up to her and tried to introduce myself to her to share my faith with her. And she just kind of gave me this dirty look, and I was like too abrupt for her, and she just walked past me and didn't want to pay any attention at all or listen to anything that I had to say. I think possibly because I was a little bit too abrupt in my personality. And then I kind of watched a little bit, and she kept walking. And then my sister, who's very quiet, very reserved, a different personality, more introvert. She just gently approached this lady and just started a conversation. And her personality connected with this lady's personality, totally different than my personality. And she ended up having like this 10-minute conversation with her. And the next thing you know, she's got a hand on her shoulder, she's praying for her, and she led this lady to Jesus. And I'm like, yes. And God said, I need every personality out there, because your story will connect with someone that mine won't. Your personality will connect with someone that mine won't. And God will set up those divine appointments. He just needs you to step out. I remember in Stockholm, we did a huge awakening event in Stockholm. And we had around 5,000 people commit to the outreach. And we obtained some statistics, some information from the people that were committing to do the outreach. And we discovered that 90% of the 5,000 had never gone out and done anything like that before. It was the first time that they were actually going out and speaking to a stranger about Jesus. And so a lot of them were fearful, but we found that because of the event, because they were with other people and it was in a group setting like you're doing today, they went out and they were firing each other up. They were excited. They were helping one another, encouraging one another. And 5,000 people went out and they all got to speak with someone. They all saw the fruit. They all saw someone encounter Jesus. And from that outreach, that intentional outreach, there's now many stories of those people doing it as a lifestyle in their everyday life, in the workplace, in their families, because that fear of man is broken. Yeah. And sometimes, like Chel said, it's just a matter of stepping through that mirage of fear and realizing it should not control me. It is a mirage. I just need to step out. And then it just becomes normal. It becomes part of your daily life. So I think intentional outreaches are really powerful because it helps bring people in. And you can kind of watch other people, watch the different personalities interact with different people and watch God move through your life. It's really cool. So I hope that helps.
Great. So, Jaleel, you were talking about over the last few weeks you've been sort of out sharing and doing different things. You want to unpack that a little bit?
I finished up, I worked for the last 9 months with Billy Graham Association, which is great, with the Graham Tour. And it was coming up to the end of that, and I was just seeking the Lord on what I was to do next. And he just invited me to give a month to the harvest. He said, what would it look like for you to just not work and just trust me for your finances and just go into the harvest field? And, you know, I've only been living in Frankston for a year, and I was driving around Frankston early, late last year, and I was thinking, God, like, I just don't have a heart for this place. Like, why am I here? Like, I don't know these people. I'm from the southeastern suburbs. And the Lord must have known all this. But a month in the harvest has meant, like, from any time I generally would be working, I'm trying to make the most effort to be either out there praying, out there sharing my faith, or praying with people and praying over the region. And I think that there's a place that the Lord's bringing the bride where we're moving from sort of sniper evangelism to, which is great. Sniper evangelism is awesome. But moving into laying siege to a city.
Yeah.
And, you know, the devil, he's very strategic in the way that he lays siege to this world. I mean, every room, every house in Australia has a TV that he just streams and streams lies into. He's very strategic, and the Lord was just, he's just reminding me again that this isn't a practice run, like this is it. Do you know what I mean? We don't get to come back to another life and actually lay down our lives and lay siege and see the kingdom of God advance. Like there's a lot in the scripture that shows clear strategy where Jesus was very clear in his strategy, and they went everywhere. In Romans 16, Paul says, the thing that stopped me from coming to you was that there was continual harvest fields that had never heard the gospel. But he says, but now that there's no room left for me, I'm coming to you. And that was between 8 to 15 million people that he preached the gospel. And he said, I've finished the job, I'm coming over. And also in Mark 4, he talks about the kingdom of God is like a man, a sower who goes into a field. And he sows the field and he goes to sleep and he doesn't know how the seed grows, but it forms an ear and then grows up into a full sheath. And when he arises, he comes out and he harvests the field. And the Lord's been talking to us about what would it look like for us to actually give our lives to see every home. And this, like, if you were to take a field and you're a good farmer, you would sow the whole thing. You wouldn't just sow a little bit here, a little bit there. In 1902, every home was visited twice by a missionary in Melbourne, resulting in a revival in 1905, a move of God. So, you know, thinking like, what would it look like for strategically to, because what we need, the kingdom of God needs seed. I can't make the seed come alive, but it needs seed. The Bible says, how can they hear unless someone preaches? How can they preach unless one's sent? And so I guess this, sorry for a long-winded answer, because I'm still trying to work out what I'm doing, but this is sort of part of it is, I think it has been for me is like, well, if we're to, And this is not just me. I know it's the churches across Frankston are really seeking God for a strategy more than ever for our city. But for me, it's been an opportunity to actually see faces, see the need. We've been everything from street evangelism to door knocking to bring the gospel. And it's changed my life. 95% of the people I've spoken to have never heard the gospel. Don't know what the gospel is.
So out of those people, what was most of their response? Was it positive or?
You know, sometimes it's just sowing seed. You know, I think we get so hung up on the responses. It's Chelsea, she had a terrible response to the seed that was sown into her life. At the time, she got upset. Like, the response has got nothing to do with whether or not God can bring life to it. We have to move away from trying to get a good response. I have my good days, I have my bad days. But the gospel goes out. And it's the only hope. It's actually like, there is nothing else. Like, I can't, like, the brokenness I've been, like, experiencing in people's lives. It's like, it's so broken. Like, the devil has been sowing a whole lifetime into some of these people of brokenness as sin, but God can in an instant plant truth that will completely destroy it. But he's waiting for the seed to go in, full stop. And you can do that through laying hands on the sick or whatever, but at the end of the day, it's the word of God that the Holy Spirit will breathe on. The word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The Spirit is looking for the word of God to be planted in a heart so he can sharpen it and bring it into someone's heart. He's invited us, 2 Corinthians 5. You know, we can talk about the union with the Father, like John 17, he'd make us one as he's one. God is so desperate about that and so believes that you are one with him that he would share with you the most intimate thing in his heart, the message of reconciliation. His greatest desire is his family to be home. And he's like, I love you so much. I see my union that I'm actually going to give you the most precious thing to my heart to share with you, reconciliation, bringing the world to you, reconciling the world to the Father. Come, I'm inviting you fully into it because we're one. And I think, you know, response has got to go out the window. And because we're not in it to have a good experience. We're in it because the glory of God's come on us. And so I hope that the response has been up and down.
Yeah. Because if you base everything on the response and you get continual bad response, then disappointment sets in and
there's only one reason why you should go to the streets. One, you can do it a heap of different ways, and Paul says he doesn't matter how the gospel is preached, but there's one response that will always bear fruit. And it's in from 2 Corinthians 5, and it says, the love of God compels us. And the love of God casts out all fear. So if you struggle with fear, encounter the love of God and go share the gospel.
Did you guys want to add to that?
That's a good word. Yeah, I would say the same thing. Just continue to sow seed and don't worry about the results necessarily. Actually, the result has already been written. The Bible says that the word of God does not come back void. That's right. And it will accomplish that which it was sent out to do. So I believe it's having effect. Whether we see the effect, the desired result, ultimately we'd love to see him planted in the local church and flourishing. And that's what I want to see. And then disciples that make disciples. And that certainly does happen. We've certainly experienced that. Our local church was built on street ministry, actually. We started off. We didn't have a building. We just had a street team. We went out and preached the gospel, planted seeds, prayed for the sick, and the church grew as a result of street ministry. And in some of our early meetings, we had half the church were people that were familiar with a meeting like this and half weren't. And so we'd had half the church that were actually outside of the building. And then when people would come into the building, they'd be out there smoking and drinking because they've come straight off the streets. So I would say that consistency, we've noticed that consistency really helps. Not backing down if you don't see the desired result with one outreach, but keep going and going. And then if you're consistent and God knows you're going to be consistent, he can set up divine appointments. There was a lady that we baptized. Did anyone see the footage, or maybe you were there, the mass baptism that we did in St. Kilda? There was like 2 hours of non-stop baptisms. And there was one particular girl, I didn't know her, but she testified in front of everybody that two people, I think in Frankston from Fire Church, had tried to reach out to her. The first person that tried to reach out to her, she just laughed at them and told them to F off. This is over maybe about a year and a half period. Someone else reached out to her and she was a little bit curious after that. She's just like, that's two people now that in the last year that have come and told me and shared their faith and shared the gospel. And then the next person invited them to the awakening event. And I think because of those earlier seeds, she's like a little bit curious now. And that word is just, even though her initial response was F off and to laugh at the person giving her the gospel, two or three times later, now she turns up to the Marvel Stadium and then and she responds to the gospel. And then on the Monday, she gets baptized and shares her testimony. Yeah. So I would say consistency, just keep going, keep planting seeds, keep loving people, no matter what response you get back. Yeah. And the fruit will come and the word does not come back void.
I remember it was the, God was on a siege over my life because I asked him to reveal himself to me, you know, and all you need is like a little crack in the door. And I remember a guy coming and, I hated Christians at this point and I was drinking and, you know, at St. Kilda Foreshore, like this festival, and this, I heard that this guy's a Christian. I'm like, oh, here we go, you know, I'm going to stir him up a bit. And so I started to say to him, what makes you think your God's so real, you know, and just kind of having a bit of a go at him. You all say you've found the truth and all this stuff. And I remember him looking me in the eye and he said, I know that Jesus Christ is real and you had better find him. And it was the conviction if he believed in what he was saying that got me. I'm like, he just said it so matter of fact, it kind of, it shut me up. Like I stopped picking on him because I was like, oh, I've got nothing left to say. But I remember that conviction, the absolute, you don't need all the answers. Sometimes we don't want to go out in the street because I'm like, what if they ask me this and I don't know? Just be honest and say, look, I just don't know. The only thing I know that Jesus Christ is real. He's radically transformed my life. You don't need to know all the ins and outs of the doctrine and the theology and all that stuff. Like sometimes that can prevent us from going out. But if you just go out with the love of God in your heart and share your testimony, no one can deny that. No one can take that away. And so I'd encourage you. I mean, I would go out and someone would ask me a question. I'd be like stumped. I'm like, oh, I don't know. But then I'd go home and I'd find out the answer. What's the answer to that, God? How do I answer that next time? But, you know, if you just go with the love of God, Holy Ghost is an expert. He'll show you what to say, what to do, how to do it, how to reach that person. Because he wants them saved. And so when we are out there on the street, we just always be listening for in that conversation, the voice of the Holy Spirit. God, how do you want to reach this person? You know them, you know where they're at, and just wait for that. Just always be listening to what he's saying. You know, he might give you a word of knowledge, he might just be really gentle on that person because they're really hurting. Pray for them. And I think when we're in tune and sensitive to what the Holy Spirit's doing and just come in line with what he's doing, then it's powerful. But, yeah, that conviction got me. He believed what he said. There's no shadow of turn. He just really matter of fact. And so, yeah, and it wasn't a long time till I got actually fully born again. Again, it's that seed, that seed, that seed, that seed. He wouldn't even know what I'm doing now, that guy. He wouldn't have even realized by him saying those words that I'm a full-time minister now and we're reaching Australia and nations, and he would have no idea till he gets to heaven of where that seed went. And so don't be discouraged. You don't know what's going to come up. He said you sow morning, noon and night. You don't know what's going to come up. Just sow it anyway. Everywhere you go, sow it, sow it, sow it.
Matt, I would say too, be careful not to put yourself into a category. Sometimes we hear the language street ministry and so we categorize people and say, oh, that's because they're more into street ministry. That's more their thing. I'm more into friendship evangelism, or I'm more into marketplace evangelism. And I would say be careful not to categorize yourself, but if you're going to put yourself into a category, put yourself into the category of it's not either or, but it's both and more. It's all of it. And so by all means, win some to Jesus. So if you're in the shopping center, don't think, oh, well, I wish the street minister was here. They would have been able to lead that person to Jesus. But just be Jesus. If you're in the marketplace, if you're in business, be Jesus in the business place. If you're a doctor, be Jesus in the medical field. If you're good at making friendships first, do that. But don't limit yourself to just that. Just be ready all the time, in season, out of season, to share Jesus with someone, because you just never know what's going to happen next. It's an adventure when you live like that. It really is. Christianity is not boring. It's an adventure, and God's always wanting to move through us. He's just, like JL said today, he's just looking for people that are obedient. You don't need to have it all together. Don't need to tick all the doctrinal boxes first. Like JL said, just have a testimony, have a story, and just say yes. He's just looking for a resounding yes, and that's when God can flow through you. So.
Great. All right, let's give these three guys a big hand. So, Ryan, would you like to come and let us know how this next thing is going to happen?
Yes, I would. Wow. I was just reminded, as you guys were talking, of a quote that I read a little while ago. Who's heard it? This is a crazy thing to ask. There's a magician duo called Penn and Teller. Who's heard of these guys? Yep. So I read this quote a little while ago, and I just looked it up 5 minutes ago. And so one of these guys, Penn Jillette is his name, and he's an atheist. And this is what he has to say about evangelism. Who's heard it? Who knows where I'm going? This is amazing. So, yeah, it is. He uses the word proselytize instead of evangelize. He said, I've always said, remember, this guy's an atheist. I've always said that I don't respect people who don't evangelize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and a hell, and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life, and you think that it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward, and atheists who think people shouldn't evangelize and who say, just leave me alone and keep your religion to yourself, how much do you have to hate somebody to not evangelize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? He continues, I mean, if I believe beyond the shadow of a doubt that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I tackle you. And this is more important than that. It's coming from an atheist.
It's good preaching.
It's good preaching. It's amazing. Yeah, he's doing some work with that quote that some Christians are not doing. How's that? So what's going to happen now is we're going to split into two teams, and one's going to be a Shepparton team and one's going to be a Marupna team. And the Shepparton team is going to meet opposite Pizza Hut near the lake. So the Shepparton Lake area, it's more the south end. You'll see the Pizza Hut, and there's some sheds and stuff on the lakeside. So it'll be near there. There'll be a group of people. So Jaleel is going to lead that team because he knows exactly where it is after my very specific directions. Ben over here, who's Together alumni, he's done a few of these conferences. He's been up with the worship team. He's come from Ballarat. He's going to lead the Marupna squad. And you're going to meet at the Marupna water tower. So you'll see that's the big brown thing sticking up in the middle of Marupna on the main street. So Ben's going to do that. And we've got some little orange passes that I'll give some to Jaleel. I'll give some to Ben. And these are to invite people to come tonight. All right, so basically, we don't want anyone to miss out on what we're doing here. And so if you minister to someone, I'll give you some more stuff to say in a moment. You might want to invite them tonight. Now, it just says Together Conference 2019, free pass. So you'll need to tell them that it's doors open at 6:30 for a 7 o'clock start. That's me telling you that information now. You'll get reminded of that, hopefully, while you're out and about on the streets. But I just want to encourage people, if this is not your thing, maybe today is the first day you give it a go. Or as someone said before, maybe you just observe. I can't remember which one of you said it. You might just want to go along and just be there. And just encourage you, if you've never had what you believe to be a direct word from God, just give it a go. Just ask yourself, God, what do you want me to say to this person? And it might just be the perfect thing. And so I'll tell you this much. It's already been said today. You don't need a word from God to love on somebody. You know, you don't need, God, well, I don't feel led. You know, we've already been told, go into all the world and love your neighbour as yourself. And, you know, the rest, I'm not going to preach about it right now. You've heard it. You know the mandate. So can I just get everyone who thinks they're going to make a go of this to stand up right now in this moment, and we're going to pray for you before we go out. So there'll be two teams. There'll be the YWAMers. Where are the YWAMers? Are you all up there? Yeah. So we're hopefully going to have half of you in Maroopna and the other half in Shepparton. And so I don't know which half's going to go in which place. But I just want to encourage people, even if you're like...
It's going to be wild, we promise.
Yeah. Even if you think, I'm not so sure, you know. If your heart's pounding, that means you should be standing. Yeah.
If fear's holding you back right now, just stand up, babe. Stand up. If you're afraid and you just let the only thing stopping you, just stand up.
Thanks, Jay.
Kids are the best evangelism tool. And dogs. Bring your puppy. Josh.
So we'll need half of the people. You might already feel that you want to be in Shepparton or in Maroopna, but we'll need to decide that before we leave. So maybe if I can get Ben, who will be doing Maroopna on this side, and Jay over here, and we'll need to sort of work it out. If it's totally imbalanced, we'll sort it out. But I just want to pray, and I guess the word commission you for what's about to happen. So, who's excited? Yeah, this is what we put this event on. It came up in our prayer meeting this morning. It's not just to have another conference. We actually want to see this community, this region, transformed by the power of the gospel. It's the heart of this church. It's Pastor Matt. It's your vision for this church. It's what we want to see. And so, let's pray, shall we? If you're near someone standing, let's just pray for them. There's enough. So many people standing. We can't lay hands on everybody. But yeah, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the harvest. We thank you for your great love that you have for Shepparton and Maroopna and this greater Shepparton region. We thank you for souls thirsty for you, Lord, even if they don't know it. We thank you for people hungry for the truth, even if they don't know it. But God, we know people are searching for answers. And God, I just pray right now for wisdom, for all those standing, all those who are planning to go out on the street right now, and even for those sitting but are still going to go. They just haven't stood yet. I just pray for wisdom. I pray for words of knowledge. I pray for boldness. Or for an awareness of boldness. that already exists in you. We just pray for a mighty outpouring over this region. I just pray that as the rains have wet the land and over the last few days, we just pray for a great spiritual outpouring over the next couple of hours, God, and into the future too. We just pray, God, that you would flood hearts this afternoon.
Yes.
We just pray for souls to come into your kingdom this afternoon. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Just want to encourage you too, that with words of knowledge, you might ask someone if you can pray for healing. And that's, how many people know, that's a great start to a conversation.
Totally.
Right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you want to say something, Jaleel? I just had that feeling.
Yeah, actually I did.
Yeah.
I would like to just, can I just, I think it's sometimes great to give some tools to people going out.
Great.
So everyone who's going to go out, if I could just have 10 minutes of your time, I'll just give you guys just a couple of tools that you can have in your back pocket just to help you out, and just you can use them when you go out, that we've found really effective and really helpful. So if I can have 10 minutes to do that, I'd love to do that.
Yep, we'll definitely do that. So just before that happens, I think it would be beneficial for maybe both teams to hear that. Are you okay with that, Ben? Yep. So we'll call an end to now. This will be an official end, and then it's hearing what Jaleel has to say. But
everyone just come sit here.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
6:30, doors will open tonight. We're expecting a great night tonight. 6:30 for a 7 o'clock start. All right, so we'll see everyone back here then with a whole lot of new faces. That's what we want to see. Amen to that.
Okay, cool. So come on in real quickly. I just want to give you guys just a couple of tools that we found helpful when you go out there. Because really what we're doing is we're sowing seed, yeah? What I'd love you to do... do we have those paper and pens still or they're gone?
I can get them for you.
Yeah, can you grab them? While we wait, are you guys... Who wants to get a little bit of equipping? We'd be like, yeah, I'd love some equipping, Jaleel. Could you help me out here? Okay. So the Bible says that there's... You know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, what? And the word of our testimony, that they did not forsake their lives unto death. All three of those things, yeah? A life laid down. So you guys are laying down your lives. It's actually just part of the gospel. Reputation, all that. People might know me out there. That's right, you've only got one identity. His name's so famous, it will never be brought down. It's called Jesus. So you don't have to worry about anything else, right? Just get... So the first one I'm going to teach you guys, can you hand those out while I'm talking? Is that cool? What was your name? Sorry.
Neil,
that's right. Neil's going to give you a piece of paper and a pen. But the first one really helpful is the 15-second testimony. The 15-second testimony is really easy and really, really helpful. Now, what we're going after, who knows how to give words of knowledge? Has anyone ever heard the voice of God and been able to give a word? Yeah. Sometimes the best way for us to, I've trained our people, is like, we challenge them. So I want you to just walk up to that person. I want you to say to them, God has given me a word for you. And so we actually step out before they've even heard the word, and they just walk up to you and go, hey, man, my name's Jay. What's your name? Andy. Andy, I just want to tell you that God's given me a word for you. And it's like, okay, come on, Holy Spirit. You really got to come through now, right? And so that's a great way. We're not going to force you to do that, though. Another one is like laying hands on the sick and seeing them healed. Another great one to start the conversation off, which is always true, is, hey, did you know Jesus loves you? Can you say that to me right now? Just turn the person next to you and say, hey, do you know Jesus loves you? Oh, man, really? I like to preface it with, when I say that to someone, I like to say, hey, do you know that Jesus loves you? And they look at you strange. I'm like, no, for real, he's changed my life and he loves you so much. So they know that you're not just doing a joke. This isn't a prank. There's no someone hiding in the bushes with a camera. Number of times people think, is this some prank? Like, why would you just actually put your life on the line? And it's just love. It's a shock, hey? But the 15-second testimony starts like this. There was a time in my life. There was a time in my life, and there's generally one, two to three elements. I like to say there was a time in my life when I was full. There was a time in life when I was full of fear. I was self-obsessed. And shamed. There might be different to you. There might be a time in my life when I was full of anxiety. Maybe there was a time in life when I was addicted to drugs and alcohol. Maybe there was a time in my life when X, Y, Z. Fill it in. So fill that in right now. Before Jesus, there was a time in my life, if you've been a Christian all your life, but you've had a fresh encounter with God, write down the things that He's set you free from. When I was full of anger and unforgiveness. So write those things down. But then I met Jesus. So you're going to preface that with, then I met Jesus. He forgave me. And now I follow Him. You can write something else there, like He cleansed me of all my sins, or He didn't hold my sin against me, but I just like, so there was a time in my life when I was full of fear, I was so self-obsessed and full of shame, but then I met Jesus and He didn't hold any of my sin against me and I gave Him my life. And now, I'm X, Y, Z. Now, I'm full of love, I'm free, and I get to lay down my life for a living, or something like that. I get to just love on the world, I like to say. So there's a time in my life when I was full of fear, self-obsession, I was shameful, I met Jesus, He forgave me, and now I'm full of love, I'm free, and I'm forgiven. That's a great story, hey? 15-second testimony. And this is the clincher, though. This is the hook. You ready for it? Do you have a similar story? Do you have a similar story? Because what it does is like, hey, I've just shared a little bit about me. Do you have the same story where you've experienced freedom? Cool. So who reckons they could do that? So I want you guys now just in twos, just quickly break up, and I want you to share your 15-second testimony with someone. So write those things down. It doesn't have to be love. Fill the blanks in yourself. Put in your blanks. They can be. It doesn't have to be three. It can be two. If you can't think of anything, just put one thing in there. And then just share with the person next to you. This should be fun, hey? Cool, go for it. So remember, this doesn't have to be long. Just keep it to 15 seconds. There was a time in my life, I was X, Y, Z. I met Jesus, He changed me, forgave me of all my sins, and now I'm X, Y, Z. Do you have a similar story? Awesome. Has everyone practiced that? This is a great tool. This is so simple. Who finds this very simple? Who reckons they could teach this to their communities, their youth group? This is so simple. It's called a testimony, 15-second testimony. I like to do this because I am very chatty. Maybe some of you guys are not chatty, but I'm very chatty, and I'll start talking to the waitress, or I'll start talking to the checkout girl, and they'll just be like, what? You're so, you know, they'll just say something like, wow, like I'll just start to tell them truth about their lives. Or they might even get healed, or they might even experience a word of knowledge, right? So then they want to know what's going on. So then you lead into your testimony. Does that make sense? Because you can be like, hey, Jesus loves you, but they don't, it doesn't mean anything. So this brings some depth to it and invites them into it as well. Cool. Okay, so one more tool I want to give you guys that we've found very successful and bearing a lot of fruit right now in Australia. And, you know, I was asked the question, what is the response out there on the streets? And I have had multiple responses. Whoa! But to tell you the truth, the world's hungrier than ever. That's the response I'm experiencing. They've never heard it and they want to know who this Jesus is. So they'll be like, no, I don't have a story. I don't have a story like that. So I like to lead in with that. I like to lead from that question right into another question. It's really like, you know, it's quite ambiguous, but it, you know, it's quite undercover, but it's simply, have you heard the gospel? Just lead with it. Hey, have you heard the good news of Jesus? I can tell you 99% of people, 95% of people that I've spoken to is like, no, I haven't. I say, can you just give me 3 minutes of your time? So can I have 3 minutes of your time right now? Is that cool? Because we often share the love of God, we share our stories, but what they really need to hear is God's story. That's the gospel, right? So I'm going to share you, this is just one way of sharing the gospel, but something we're finding very fruitful in Australia right now, and it's called the three circles. Has anyone heard of the three circles before? Cool. So if you've done it before, awesome. I should get Emily up here because she's been training in this like crazy, hey? Emily, are you a good drawer? Yeah, come on up. Actually, I'm going to welcome Emily up. She's going to actually teach you the three circles.
Okay,
are you
serious? Okay. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay, cool. Yeah, you got 3 minutes. Okay, I've got 3 minutes. Yeah. So this is what you would start off with when you do the three circles. The first thing you would say is, okay, so you would agree that the world is a pretty broken place. You see, if you'd only have to turn on the news and you would see that, you know, that there's war, there's famine, kids are dying, it's an awful thing. But actually, that wasn't the way that God intended it to be. So actually, God created the world, and when he created it, he made it in love because he loved the world. But this thing happened, and that was when mankind actually chose to turn away from God. So they actually chose to do their own thing, and that's a thing called sin. Sin is where you actually turn away from God and do your own thing, and that is actually what creates brokenness in the world. So we see brokenness in the world, and often people express their brokenness through maybe like drinking, lots of drinking, maybe like you hear about addictions and all those sorts of things. And it could even be as simple as, I'm going to live my own way. I'm going to be selfish. I'm going to climb the ladder to success. All those things, actually, if someone expressing their brokenness from having turned away from God. But the good news is that actually Jesus came. Jesus came into the world, and he actually came so that he could actually reconcile, which means turn the world back to God. So he actually died and he rose again. And he came so that people, if they turn and believe, turn away from the sin, turn away from their brokenness and say sorry, that actually they receive Jesus and they actually become a brand new person, a brand new creation. And that's the good news. So the next thing that you would ask the person after you've explained that, did I miss anything in that? Okay, great. So the next thing you would say to that person is, okay, which circle do you feel like you relate to? And often you might have a person say, well, I actually relate to the broken circle. I have this in my life. Or maybe it's a person that's a Christian, and whatever response it is, that if they say, I'm this, okay, well, what's stopping you from having this new relationship with God where you can become a new creation in Christ, where you can be reconciled and know God's love for you? What's stopping you? And then that could be, that invites a different response right there.
Awesome. Yeah. Give her a hand. That was awesome, Em. Fantastic. Yeah, just keep that one out. So I'm going to get you guys to draw this up right now. And I do this on my phone. I get chalk out and I do it on the street with the gang kids. Like all the kids down in Frankston now have got the three circles on their phones. Hey, like they're just like, they know and they've told me where they are. Oh, there it is. Awesome. Thanks, bro. Good job. So have you guys done this already, this training? No. Okay. So let me just, I'm going to go through it slowly now for you guys and you're going to draw it up. And, you know, there's a great, if you look at the three circles, normal Christian life, three circles, if you look that up on YouTube, you'll see a great video on it as well. So thanks, and let me just run through this one more time. So I like to ask the people, have you heard the gospel? Maybe no. Say, hey, can I share the three circles with you really quickly? It'll take 2 minutes of your time. So you ready to draw it up? So you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that the world's broken, right? You turn on the news and you see all sorts of brokenness. I like to ask them what sort of things you see. War, selfishness. But also in the world that we live in, you see a lot of beauty, right? You might look at a newborn baby or a sunrise. And that's because when God created the world, he didn't create it broken, but he created it with a heart of love, and you were to be right in the middle of that heart. That was his desire. But an issue that got us from here to here, what broke the world, is an issue called sin. And sin is literally saying that we want to live independently from God. That's what it is. Sin is living independently from God. And that can be anything from lying to murder. Any form of selfishness. You guys drawing this up? Cool. Awesome. And then I'm going to just ask some questions. If you guys have got questions, you can ask me in a bit. Now, people are continually trying to escape this brokenness. And it is right, it's an example of brokenness, but actually in many ways it's an escape of brokenness as well. And so people turn to, I asked to ask them, I think people turn to drugs, what else do you think people turn to? And they'll start to list things like video games. I like to say, hey, some people think that when they get that relationship, everything will be sorted out. But if you remember your first boyfriend or girlfriend, you thought, oh my goodness, all the problems in the world with mum and dad are being solved. But all these things are actually like bungee cords and they stretch out, but then they plunge you deeper into brokenness. Drugs plunge you deeper into brokenness. Relationships without God plunge you deeper into brokenness. And you see, we can't get out of brokenness. And so that's where the third circle comes in, and that's Jesus, because the effects of sin on your life is death. The effect of broken relationships is that your heart is dying on the inside. And they'll be like, yeah. So Jesus came and he died because the wages of sin or the effect of sin is death. And what he did is when he died, because he was a perfect man, he never sinned. He was whole, but he died. He died for you and I and cancelled out sin. And all he invites you to do is to turn. We've actually added this one in. Turn. Believe, and he invites you into baptism, which is saying you'll be made a brand new creation. It's saying the old's gone and you'll be made brand new. And you declare, you allow him to be king in your life again. And he restores you back to the Father and sends you back into this broken world to save others. Now, they're like, oh, that's great, great story. So where are you in this equation right now? Which circle are you in? Because if you die in brokenness, that's an eternity of brokenness, and that place is called hell. If you die here in wholeness, it's eternity in wholeness, and that place is called heaven. So this is eternal, right? So where do you find yourself right now? And they'll generally stay here and say, well, I've just shared with you the simple gospel. This is simple. There's different layers to it, but really you just turn, believe, get baptized. You'll be made a brand new creation. Is there anything stopping you right now from giving your life to Jesus? And they might come up with 100 things, my drug, my marijuana, my relationships, I'm not good enough, and say, well, you know what? That's why Jesus came. Because trying to get clean before you come to Jesus free is like trying to get clean before you have a shower. Jesus is the one that cleanses us. So that's the three circles. I do it on my phone, I do it on the... And do you know what? We've literally seen hundreds of people get saved. Super simple, but easy, yeah? Okay, do we have any questions around that? Or we're all good to go? All ready to exercise it? I generally get you guys to do it to each other, but you guys are going to go out and practice. I encourage you to practice one of these tools today, just for the sake of it. The more you do it, the better you get at it. Cool. And what it does is it leaves a deposit in their hearts. Even if they may give their lives to Jesus, but leaves a deposit in their hearts to actually go away with it and go, wow, there is an answer if I'm looking for it, if I'm ready for it to be transformed.